Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids. But the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there.
Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Gail King.
Okay. Does that make you Oprah?
Always.
Okay. This is Mike Jensen, for the record.
In case you thought Gail King had replaced Mike Jensen.
We're on episode 5.
The Power of Female Sex.
Yep. June 5th, 1998. This was directed by Susan Seidelman, who directed the pilot. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. That's your job.
Yeah. She directed the pilot. And we have a new interesting name.
Jenji Cohen.
Yeah.
Cohen.
I think it's just Cohen.
Okay.
A story by Jenji Cohen.
Orange is the New Black.
Weeds. So there you go.
There you go.
She wrote on Sex and the City. Teleplay by Darren Star. I do want to actually correct something that I said. And not necessarily correct, but clarify. I think it was on the last episode that I referred to Michael Patrick King as taking the reins. And I didn't mean taking the reins so much as sharing the reins,
okay. Perhaps.
Darren Star is still around. He's still going to do, you know, he's still a driving force.
Right.
So
it's not like smash.
Yeah. And Darren Star is a big fan of this podcast, so I didn't want...
You don't want to offend him.
Sorry, Darren. So pretty quickly in this episode, you made a prediction as to who you thought the two new names coming up were going to be.
Yeah.
And you stumbled upon one of them.
Meg Ryan.
Yep. Meg Ryan did some deep background work.
No, Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell gets a shout out.
The most powerful woman in New York is not Tina Brown or Diane Sawyer or even Rosie O'Donnell.
Fun fact about Rosie O'Donnell. I was a huge fan of the Rosie O'Donnell show growing up. And I had the Rosie O'Doll.
That makes me so jealous. Because I was a huge, to this day, I love Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, the Rosie O'Doll, you would squeeze, and there were a few phrases she said. They were, let's see if I can remember them all. Dreams come true with Rosie.
But how did it say it?
Dreams come true with Rosie. Rock on, little one. Come on, give me a kiss. Mwah! What a cutie patootie. I think that might be the order,
I
too.
I really, really like it.
Yeah.
Who has a Rosie O'Doll? Somebody...
Well, there were two versions. So I had, like, the plush one that you squoze. I don't know if that's a word. When you would squeeze it, you got one of those four fabulous phrases. But there was also... And that was in the blue outfit, in her blue suit. But there was also a Barbie-style doll that was in the red outfit. And she had more of, like, a blowout in the hair.
Okay.
So...
Well, I like it. I'm super jealous.
Maybe I can have... My mom sent it to me from my childhood home, and on the next episode, we'll squeeze it.
I like it. I would love it if it's still working. So we go to a restaurant.
Balzac.
And what do you think of when you hear Balzac?
The Music Man.
Okay.
Balzac.
Eulalie McKechnie Shin during the Grecian Urns.
Yeah, I think that I actually unconsciously say it that way sometimes because of my early viewings of The Music Man.
Yeah.
Also, there's a Will and Grace episode that uses it as a punchline.
I'll have to go back and see
Check
that
it out.
One.
It was funny.
And I know because we did some brief discussion before this that we were trying to place where Balzac actually was.
Yeah, because for me, it was definitely a stand-in for Balthazar.
But then upon Googling... On the internet, and we know that when you Google something on the internet, it is the end-all, be-all.
Always true.
Always true. It is actually said that it is Balthazar.
Yeah, I'm super confused about that, because I have been to Balthazar.
I have not. Not cool enough.
And it doesn't look like that.
Okay.
Oh, and I guess what I mean by that, they can redecorate and change the lighting, but there's like stairs, right? Like, I'm not making that up. There's stairs that lead from the host desk to...
Well, there is a moment where there's definitely some stair work going on.
I don't feel like there's any stairs like that at Balthazar.
Well, if anyone's been there recently, let us know if there's stairs at Balthazar. The first thing I did notice, though, was the hostess had another fun hat.
You like the hats.
I love a hat. This one was more like a fascinator top hat. Uh-huh. Really liked that.
And they are... So that is the most powerful woman in New York.
The hostess.
The hostess.
Not Rosie O.
Not even Rosie O. I want to point out they say she's still way up there, but not even Rosie O'Donnell is the most powerful. And it basically comes down to them not being able to get a seat.
This is humiliating. We've been waiting for 45 minutes.
And I do like that Samantha has a moment of saying,
doesn't she know who we are?
Who are we?
Yeah. And even I was thinking that because we haven't really established yet, even though Carrie is on the side of a bus, we haven't quite established like how big she is in the
journalism. And it's not
world.
Like anyone's ever recognized her. Like,
right.
We never
She's
had a moment
columnist.
Of like, oh my gosh, you're Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah. And there they are with those red Cosmos again.
Yeah.
Too dark. Lighten up on the cranberry, bartender.
And, yeah. And Samantha has a weird thing where she says,
if she were a man, not only would we be eating right now, but they'd be sending over free drinks.
I don't know. I don't think that just because you have a male host, you're going to get your way, Samantha.
Yeah, but I think that's part of Samantha's thing, is she just thinks that that's what's going to happen with her, you know, all the time. And maybe that's just like a character choice of...
Yeah. So we once again have Carrie going shoe shopping.
Right. Which I love this moment where her credit card is declined. Oh, also, though, before we talk about her credit card, let's talk about those shoes that she picks up.
Oh, yeah. Wait, are those like the fluffy shoes?
Yeah, they're like a marabou feather, like... glamorous slipper heel, and they're all over Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah, but she can't get the shoes because
her card is declined, and the sales clerk actually says,
they told me to do that.
They have asked me to cut this card in half.
And no, I don't think they really cut your credit cards up when they're declined.
No, it's actually when someone's credit card is declined, when I'm waiting tables, it is the most embarrassing. You, like, lie about it. You say something like, I don't know why, sir or madam, but this card is just not working.
There's something is wrong with our system,
I
guess.
Yeah, something is wrong with our system. Is there anything else you can... Of course
there is. Which is dumb. Like, it shouldn't be mortifying. It should be mortifying to the person.
Right.
Anyway, mortifying. And then we meet Amelita.
Scusa!
Amelita, who is Carrie's long-lost international friend who comes forth to save the day.
Comes forth to save... to save the day using her boyfriend's money.
Right. And I actually wrote down like an inner monologue I was having, which I will share with you. I wrote down, long time no see. Let me buy you these very expensive Dolce & Gabbana marabou slipper heels and tell you about my new boyfriend's penis size. He's also the one paying for the shoes. Because she acknowledges, like, oh, I'm actually not paying for them. He is. Carlos. And Carlos is just in the corner, like, bored, looking at heels, and kind of waves. But then she goes on to say he has a small penis.
But he knows exactly how to use it.
He has a tiny little penis, but he knows exactly how to use it.
Oh. Wave, darling, wave!
Right, but I'm just like, okay, rude. And as she's giving Amelita a hug, that's when she talks to the camera.
So we have a camera. We have a talk to the camera moment.
Which I don't think she did at all in the last episode.
I don't think so, but we
so
have another one here.
She's slowly backing away from it.
I do really like, so Carrie takes the shoes.
Yeah, and then she never thanks Carlos.
Never thanks Carlos.
Which I think is rude. But
and then she immediately goes home and throws away her bills.
I don't notice that.
Yeah, she throws her bills in the trash. I just want to be clear, that doesn't make the bills go away.
No, it doesn't make them go away, and also, like, a very 1990s thing to do, because nowadays, it's a lot of paperless billing. So you couldn't just, like, throw your laptop out the window.
Yeah, you get, the message of, like, life happens.
Yeah.
You didn't pay your bill.
I've never gotten that.
Oh. Thanks, AT&T.
And then as she starts typing about Amelita having a
life. Her life was a blur of rich men, designer clothes, and glamorous resorts. She didn't actually work for a living, yet possessed a dazzling sexual power that she exploited to her full advantage.
And in that moment, I'm thinking, isn't that what Carrie Bradshaw is?
Carrie has a job. She writes a very important column for a newspaper that no one's ever heard of.
I don't know. I don't know if it's enough of a job to, like, judge someone for doing similar things.
So then we get the question.
Where's the line between professional girlfriend and just plain professional?
Where is the line?
I don't know. I mean, I understand what she's saying here. She's saying, like, is Amelita, what she's doing, is that a job for her? Like, being a, like, choosing to say that she's going to get what she wants in life through just being a girlfriend to these men? Or is that completely unprofessional? Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, and I guess part of the conversation is, there's a degree to everything. There are shades of gray.
And I honestly don't have as big of a problem with Amelita. I mean, if these men, if she's using them, completely using them, then I do have a problem. Because I'm like, that's not nice. Like, if she kind of uses them and lets them go. But if they are having a relationship where they like her company and she likes what they're providing, then I think that, you know, like, Amelita seems to be enjoying herself and having a good life. However, I do have an issue with some of the relationships that happen later in this episode.
Okay.
So we'll get to those. All right.
So we get to a poker game with the ladies. Did I talk about this in the last one? I just love the scenes where it's the four women in a room.
I think you do. I mean, I love the scenes with them in the cab. Yeah. I know that for sure. And
I love it. That's like probably my favorite scenes in the show. And every episode has, I feel like, at least one.
They're always eating together.
Always eating.
Carrie is currently in pigtails, which she I'm not sure if I like.
She is with a terrible poker face.
Terrible poker face. And even more than that, she's in a plaid tube top. So do you have any feelings about that? I remember you took quite an issue with her nude tube top.
I'm not against the tube top in general. It was the nude tube top that I just thought was a bit much.
Yeah, and this is when the ladies really get into a topical conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we have a moment with where Kristen Davis has to utter an almost unutterable line.
Neville Morgan, the notoriously reclusive painter.
I was thinking about Neville, and I'm thinking that he just looks very Renaissance to me. Like, very Game of Thrones, just that long hair. And she's talking about, you know, that she wants this man's work in her gallery.
Yeah, so Neville Morgan comes to visit Charlotte at her gallery.
Mm-hmm.
We have some bad slow-mo.
Right. And the idea is that, is she going to have to...
He invites
her to his barn.
To perhaps
hold a brush. If he so much as suggests what she's suggesting, you give me a call and we'll sue the hell out of him.
Yeah, and it's like, is she going to do that?
Yeah, we do get it. I wonder if you could have this conversation on television right now.
No,
it's a bunch of women sitting around saying, like, how far would you go?
Right. And it's, you know, and this is where I began to have an issue, is that I feel like this is a completely different conversation than what's going on with Amelita. Like, putting them in the same category is, you know, because Amelita is this kind of like a relationship still. You know, she's having relationships with these men. These men are having relationships with her. They happen to have money, but they're very well aware that, you know, she's with them maybe for that reason and vice versa. But with this, Charlotte doesn't necessarily want to be in that situation.
Right.
Like, she doesn't necessarily want to hold Neville's brush.
Right.
And she's having this big debate on, well, should she do it? And the only one with any sort of sense is Miranda.
That's the only proper way to trade sex for power.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. You're like the Harvard Law Lorena Bobba.
I like that. I mean, it's not nice. But I then also, she gets to fire back at Samantha, referring to her as...
Don't listen to the dime store Camille Paglia.
Well, and it's just interesting that you do get more of the character's idea, or the character's personality is here. But I was thinking, I'm like, finally, Miranda has some sense to her, because I don't know. I was just, and maybe it's the current political, not even political, the current events that are happening in the world where women are being taken advantage of because of wanting to, you know, impress these men with power, or I don't know. I wasn't a fan of some of the points that were being made in this episode.
And then my next note is just poor Skipper. Again, poor Skipper.
It's Skipper. I told him I was here, and he insisted on picking me up. But he's not supposed to be here till 11.
Aw, he's like a sweet little seal pup.
But you sometimes want a club.
You're an hour early.
Oh, I can wait in the hall.
Well, as a Skipper, as I'm identifying as a Skipper thus far in the series, I don't know. I didn't feel bad for him because Miranda obviously likes him. You know, when he comes,
he just can't do anything right.
I know, but he has like the sexy pose as he waits in the door, and you can tell by the look that she's giving her friends, like, "Ugh, Skipper's here," but she doesn't have to leave,
right?
And she chooses to leave the party early. So I think that Skipper's fine. I think that Miranda wants to be with him. She's just like, I have to put on this. You know, I'm actually too cool for it.
And then Carrie's going to try to go to bed early, but instead gets a call from Amelita saying...
She's like, darling, you have to... I don't know why and what voice I'm giving her, but she's like...
Why don't you come and join us? We are at a Balzac, and there is someone here I'm dying for you to meet.
Oh, I'd love to, but I'm really trying to cut back.
You are crazy, you know that? Why don't you just come down here and be your fabulous self?
She must rip off those sheep pajamas she has on and throw on a glittery smoky eye, and there she goes to Balzac.
Back to Balzac, where she meets Giles.
Giles. But first, there's a different hat.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a different hat they're in. Another, like, fascinator style.
It's like, now we're on, like, Saturday hat.
Yeah, and the servers are all in what I think was actually my high school show choir uniform. They're in, like, a short sleeve glittery blouse.
Okay, we don't have to get too specific, but, like, was this the same era?
Yeah, but still, I think they're probably, the high schools are still wearing the glittery blouses. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if that ever makes it okay to wear them. Regardless of the era. So yes, Giles, he is the Paris architect.
And they have a conversation. It turns into sort of like a walk home, I suppose. And they get very, very upfront, very frank, very quickly.
Carrie makes a reference to her substance abuse problem.
Meaning shoes, but I still am like, it's an interesting thing to say to someone on your first meeting.
I don't know. I mean, we're kind of just establishing, and I don't know if this was something the writers were doing, but in a few episodes now, we've established that when Carrie's sad, she buys things.
Yeah, but I'm saying it to him. Being like, hey, guy I just met, I buy... Yeah, I guess it's not that big of a deal. I just feel like he then invites her to come to Paris.
Yeah, but that's, like, nothing to him.
Okay.
You know? And then there's that weird Peter Pan moment that they have.
Oh, yeah. Where she, like, steps onto a dolly.
She says, I felt like I was floating on air. And then, literally, they attach some flying apparatus to her. I don't know how it happens. And she just floats.
Sex in the City doesn't have a lot of special effects. But
that
we
was
do.
One. And I don't even know if it was necessary, but it was like Sarah Jessica Parker starring as Carrie Bradshaw, starring as Mary Martin in Peter Pan.
All set on a sidewalk in New York.
All set on, or Kathy Rigby, depending Kathy on Rigby. Which Peter you prefer. And then she is in her house and... She has a closet full of clothes and nothing to wear, which is totally true. Like, I agree with that. I often open up, and I don't have a ton of clothes, but, I mean, I've put thought behind most things I've bought, and I'll look at it and be like, well, I have nothing. I can't leave my house. There's nothing to wear.
I have that where I think, what solid colored V-neck t-shirt should I wear today?
Yeah, Mike's wardrobe is very cartoon wardrobe. It's like Doug Funny from Doug, where you open up his closet and there's just... 14 vests, white shirts, and cargo shorts.
It makes making a decision very easy.
I guess so.
All right, so Skipper shows up. Now, I guess my only issue with this, and I don't really have an issue with it, is that we're getting Miranda's story told by Skipper, I feel like, a little bit.
Well, my only issue with this is that nightgown that Carrie is wearing.
Oh, right.
It's very Wendy Darling, another Peter Pan reference.
Yeah, and she uses it to, like, change her clothes under... So the functionality works later on, but in the moment it's an odd costume choice.
It is. And then, yes, I guess, okay, so Skipper's telling us about Miranda.
Is it possible to be addicted to a person? I mean, the sex is so awesome that it's like, it's all I can think about. You know, I don't even shower afterwards. I like to spend the whole day smelling like Miranda.
Which is kind of serial killer-y. Weird, and then Carrie kind of pulls her hand away.
Yeah, which he's probably washed his hands at least. Speaking of washing hands, we then see her ridiculous sink. Remember those old sinks where like hot comes out of one and cold comes out of the other
side? Like two separate faucets. Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's probably old plumbing. Yeah. All right. Upper East Side apartment. She has to be getting a deal.
So then they have their date where you, all the like iconic places.
And by they,
places.
We mean Carrie and yeah, sorry. Giles.
Later, I spent the most incredibly romantic afternoon with Giles.
They have the magical day in Central Park where they do all the iconic Central Park things. There is a terrific cut between a spin happening in Central Park and a spin that happens at his hotel room.
Oh, they're
really well
executed.
They're
using all the special effects of this one.
Really well
they're
executed.
They're like dancing around Alice's teacup.
Yeah, it's not Alice's teacup.
Alice in Wonderland. They could be dancing around Alice's teacup with sure. some scones.
So they spend the night together, wake up the next day. He has an early flight.
Stay in bed or the room service. Enjoy yourself.
And then she spies on the bedpost
a card with her name on it
that says, "Thanks for the beautiful day."
With $1,000 inside.
Now, I feel like when I first watched this, when I was a young child in my 20s.
In 1846, baby Jensen.
I thought awesome.
Yeah. And I still kind of thought awesome because I'm like, I sure, just I'll got take my a,
I'm probably
bill.
Never going to see this guy again anyways.
Right. But then I was thinking, oh my gosh, because she
I
mentioned,
now find it really insulting.
Well, here's the insulting part. Like, but is this what Giles thought was happening?
Right.
Because
right.
Amelita met Carrie when Carrie's credit card got declined. And then Carrie's like, I have to stay at home. I can't go out with you. And so is Amelita thinking like, my friend Giles is in town. What if I tell Giles I know this escort?
Right.
I don't know. Did she market Carrie as Maybe. A woman as an escort?
I wonder if Amelita got a cut.
Oh, like Amelita is like the madam?
Yeah.
Madam Amelita.
Now I'm sort of spy. Now
yeah,
I have
now
no
we've
idea.
Like, now we just... have a whole different series. You know, and in that case, it's an equal exchange.
Right.
You know, where...
As Samantha says, money is power, sex is power.
Therefore, getting money for sex is simply an exchange of power.
But
oh,
then,
and that's when Miranda has her dime store.
Dime store moment. But then, if that's not the case, and Giles is just paying Carrie because he thinks she doesn't have enough money and can't support herself, then I have an issue with that. And the other way around, I have an issue with Amelita for going around telling people
right.
that they can
buy Carrie. So we have a variation on the four women in a room conversation, which is three out of the four.
In the hotel.
Who is this Amelita Amalfi character anyway? I'm concerned that you've been drafted into a ring of high-class hookers.
She isn't a hooker. She's like an international party girl.
She's a hooker with a passport.
Rude. See, I have a lot. There's a. This episode would not fly.
I wonder if you could tell a story like this nowadays.
I mean, you really... could, but not on TV.
Right.
You know, or if you did, there would be a lot of
tweeting
hashtag boycott HBO because I don't know. I find myself to like take a lot of things. You know, sometimes I'm like, well, it was the 90s. But even this, I was kind of. Like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like the way they're talking about themselves or their people or their...
So I suppose you sided with Miranda when Samantha says...
Men give, women receive. It's biological destiny.
Hello! Do you really want to be saying that? I mean, that's exactly the kind of argument men have been using since the dawn of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean...
There was a real moment. Like, they were fighting for just a second there. Like, Carrie has to break in. But I kind of like that we see these women, like, going head-to-head.
Well, in
having
this
really
moment,
different
too,
ideas.
I really thought... I was like, Miranda is the only person with some sort of sense. Like, I actually wrote down, Miranda is the only one... almost there because she's not even like completely 2017 there, but she is almost there. And literally, yes, men give, women receive. Okay, fine. But if we're going to go to like sex ed class, okay. But no, I mean, I don't know.
And then Carrie sums it up as if she's going to look at it as a bad date with a cash bonus. And my only thing with that is that it makes me kind of sad because it wasn't a bad date.
No, it wasn't
a
bad date.
It was a good
date.
And I feel sad that you would look back on this. And he would, I suppose. He would look back and be like, well, that was terrible. That was an experience. Instead of being like, oh, I had a really nice day with someone.
But once again, I feel like that is kind of the Sex in the City idea is that there's always going to be a twist. Like, it's a great date, but...
Right.
So then we go to the part where I have the biggest
problems. All right, so now we're really getting into it as we go along. So apparently the reason why Charlotte wasn't at that hotel room breakfast was because she was off to the country.
Off to Neville's art barn. And before we get into this, can we, like, not use the word?
We won't.
Just call it something else?
Sure, what do you want to call it?
I don't know.
Do you want to call it the pure universal God force?
It's the closest I've ever come to pure universal God force.
We are introduced to his wife, Gertrude, played by Phyllis Somerville.
Lemonade and cookies?
Which isn't a good combination.
It's not a good combination. And also when your husband's like showing a prospective buyer a bunch of crotch paintings. Like, would you like an acidic drink paired with a chocolatey treat?
So we have that. So, but do you think it's inappropriate as an artist to say to someone else, I would like to draw you?
As Jack says to Rose on the Titanic. No, actually Rose says it to Jack. She's right. Like, please paint me like one of your French girls. So Rose had the power in that situation.
And I guess it also comes down to, I think also, if we go back to the title of the episode, I think that Samantha's referring to all this as the woman is the one with the power.
Right. But in this is the situation that I had the most problems with, because as much as I've learned about Charlotte in the four previous episodes, I don't think Charlotte would do this or wants to do this. And I think that if this was Samantha or Carrie, I think they would be looking at it like, I have the power and this is something that I am choosing to do because he wants to. And now, like, what an honor to be painted. But I think Charlotte's looking at it more of like, well, I guess this is what I have to do to get his paintings in my gallery.
Yeah.
And that's where I had the issue with it, is that this man has the power. He has the power of the paintings that Charlotte wants, and so she feels like she has to do it in order to get them. But I could be wrong. Maybe this is an awakening moment for Charlotte, and I'm just looking at it from the eyes of someone who is seeing this over and over again in the news right now and is really on, you know,
yeah,
alert.
We're all kind of on alert there. That was the word I was going to use, too.
And the scene ends, real quick, with us not knowing. Does she do it
right,
or not?
We don't know.
And I was sitting there on my couch like, don't do it, Charlotte. You're better than this. All right. So, yeah, they go back to Bolzac. This is where the stairs make their appearance.
Yeah, the stairs are there. Also, at this point, I feel like the hostess is just being rude.
I don't understand. I made these reservations weeks ago, and she's already been here. I'm sorry.
Right. And I actually didn't understand what was happening at first. It took me later till I reread my notes, because Samantha, they get declined again, and Samantha says,
is there a host that I might talk to?
And I'm sitting there going, what is that girl with the hat on?
Right. And at that point, Samantha cedes the higher ground. So I feel like the hostess was being rude.
Right.
And then Samantha basically asked to speak to a man instead of her. And now Samantha's in the wrong.
Right. And I took it as, what's going on here? Not realizing that they were using host as like a male term.
Correct.
And that's why. Okay.
So Samantha cedes the higher ground. Before they're going to leave, though, Carrie, I think, needs to go to the restroom.
Right.
And stops by the table where Amelita only eats at Bolzac.
Only eats at Bolzac. She's a regular.
Carrie, Joe!
They know her. She has a table.
She wants them to join, but not just join at the table. Join them going to Venice.
Yeah, because that's what you do.
Right. And I think this is the crux of the episode, is that you have Carrie go through this thought process of, yeah, she could go to Venice.
She could. And I'm watching Venice guy's hands, and I'm like, dude, back off.
he's getting pretty handsy.
But
the idea is she could go to Venice.
I realized that I could leverage myself like the human equivalent of a sexy junk bond. I'd parlay that $1,000 into a trip to Venice, into a nice piece of jewelry, a rich husband followed by a richer divorce.
She sort of goes through this whole process of, she could be Amelita. Like, she could have that same lifestyle if she wanted.
But then she says something which I was very proud of her for. She says,
"Just because Venice was sinking didn't mean my morals had to go down with it."
So she decides that is not her life.
No, she should have slapped that guy for putting his hand on her, but brava, Carrie Bradshaw.
And while in the ladies' room,
she runs into the hostess, who is in need of a tampon.
And there you go. There is the power switch right there.
There it is. Carrie has it. Women helping women.
Mm-hmm. So that's nice.
That's nice.
And she also gets a table out of it.
And that's a very real situation. And you know what? You would think, you probably don't know this, but you would think that it's strange to ask a stranger for that. But it's kind of like a universal woman thing where they just don't care. Like, if I was in need, you would go to any woman and be like, "Hey, do you have a tampon?" Because every woman knows that moment.
Uh-huh.
And they just, like, it's not like they can be like, "Ew, gross, you have a period." You know? Like, they get it.
"Do you have a tampon?" "Oh, sure."
So the episode could have ended here.
It could have, and it should have.
It could have been the end of it right there.
But then they have to go to the gallery with all of Neville's paintings of the universal
God force.
And all the women are like, "Is that yours?" So you know that she's done it and talked about it. And she's like, "No,
what number are you?
What number are you?
Are you number 9?
Oh my god, I am so not number 9.
The other thing, though, is that, like, she has an offended face at some of them, where they're like, "Number 9, and she's like, "Ew, no."
And none of these pictures look like straight up vaginas.
And none of them look like, I could not personally be like, "Oh, that one."
Yeah, vaginas are like snowflakes. Everyone is different, and we are all beautiful in our own way. So quit vagina shaming.
So,
Charlotte.
Exactly, Charlotte. But so Charlotte went through with it. I will say that it's not the last time that Charlotte stretches herself for art. So okay. Maybe it's because it's the art world.
So I should just prepare myself to be disappointed.
No, not necessarily. I don't mean disappointed. I just mean that we will. Maybe could just be establishing that for art, Charlotte's willing to do things that she wouldn't necessarily be comfortable with.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I hope she was comfortable with it.
I hope she wasn't feeling pressured.
Yeah, fame, crying.
Because I'm willing to step outside of my comfort zone. But there's a difference between stepping outside of your comfort zone and being taken advantage of.
And being Coco. You don't know Fame the movie?
Oh, I didn't know where you were going with that. Like that. I thought you were going to be like, "And being Coco." Like, I don't know. I do know Fame the movie.
Anyway, so that's the episode. So lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I still am uneasy. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't know if I'm, like I said, I don't know if I would have watched this 4 months ago, if I would have had a completely different take on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm...
I think that what I go with, and that I think we're supposed to go with, is that it is about the female power.
Right.
That it is that none of these women did anything they didn't want to do.
Okay.
In this episode, in these situations.
I still don't like Neville. I don't like his hair, and I don't like... his wife's choice of past hors d'oeuvres.
And you shall not be buying any of his artwork.
I will not be buying your artwork, Neville. I would rather have an Ann Geddes baby.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. And if you like what you hear, please leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends. Like us on Facebook. We're at We Couldn't Help But Wonder. Like us on Twitter. We're at WCHBW Podcast. Find us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder. Tell your friends. Share the posts.
Yeah, I think that's actually my number one thing. Other than write a review and give us a nice rating to counteract that mean 1-star rating that we got.
Mike just can't get over that. I thought it was great.
Okay. And then, yeah, sharing is great. Like, let your friends know and share it on Facebook and...
because
spread the word.
Tis the season.
Tis the season for sharing.
All I want for Christmas is for you to share this post.
I like it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
See you next time.
See you next time. Well, here, we won't see you.
Listen to us next time.
Listen to me next time.
Listen to both of us.
Oh, sorry.
Now we're in a fight.
Stay tuned after the credits for some thoughts on Irene Cara and Elise's least favorite word. You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now! For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, take care of yourself and let's take care of each other. Join us next week for Secret Sex.
Don't sing the songs.
We cannot sing the songs for any of this. I'm going to have to cut all of this out. Whatever happened to Irene Cara?
She had a hit.
she had a couple of hits.
Yeah. So whatever happened to her? She should be producing a Christmas album.
Maybe. Let's hope that she is.
And if you're wondering what word we're talking about, Neville refers to this series he's working on, and he refers to what he's been painting, and he's been painting a lot of vagines, and he just says the C word. Which I just think is kind of extreme.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an American thing that that's such an extreme word.
Well, yeah, and I'm not, like, offended as much as I'm just, like, I don't know. I don't really feel like saying it 15 times.
All right. Well, they call it the pure universal God force. I think you can all figure out what it is.